If you will take out your bulletin for a reading of United Methodist doctrine from the Confession of Faith on the Holy Scriptures. It's only four lines, but it's carefully written. It tells us what the Bible is for and what it is not for. As United Methodists, we believe the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments, reveals the Word of God so far as necessary for our salvation. In Scripture, divine revelation is found. It is to be received through the Holy Spirit as the true rule and guide for faith and practice. The Holy Spirit is the true interpreter, and rightly read, the Scripture gives us what to believe and how to behave. The last line is to prevent any preacher from foisting upon you doctrines that are not grounded in Scripture. Whatever is not revealed in or established by the Holy Scriptures is not to be made an article of faith, nor is to be taught as essential to salvation. If you will look on the back of your Scripture sheet, you will see a chart there I've been working on for several years. In the left column are a series of statements about the rigors of ancient Christian discipleship. And in the right column, you will see where we are today, which is American church or club membership. And our goal is to move as many people from the right column to the left column as possible. Our text today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, to which I've given the title, What It Means to Be a Disciple. On the right side of the sheet, you will see a number of boxes. Those are the parts of an ancient call and commission story. You notice the story begins with the words two boats and land. It closes with those same words, which tell me this is a paragraph. At the center in verses 6 and 7 is a miracle. On either side of this are dialogues between Peter and Jesus. A very carefully constructed call story about the call of the first apostle. When the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked to be put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had ceased speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish, and as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For Peter was astonished, and all who were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were also partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One snowy morning at 5 a.m., a missionary candidate rang the bell at the door of the agency to which he was applying. He was ushered in, and there he sat for 3 hours past his appointment, with no one coming to speak to him. Finally, at 8 a.m., a retired missionary appeared and began the interview with this question, "Can you spell?" Mystified, the candidate said, "Yes, sir." "All right, then, spell Baker. B-A-K-E-R. Do you know anything about numbers?" "Yes, sir." "Please add 2 plus 2. 4, the would-be missionary replied. "That's fine," said the examiner. "You've passed the test. I will tell the board tomorrow." At the board meeting, the examiner explained his strange method. "First, I tested him on self-denial, making him arrive at 5 a.m. He left a warm bed on a snowy day and came without complaint. Then I tested him on promptness. He was on time. Then patience. He waited 3 hours to see me. Next, I tested his temper, and he failed to show any anger or aggravation. I finally tried his humility by asking him questions any child could answer. The candidate meets all the requirements. He will make a fine missionary. So with our friend Simon Peter. He was being tried and tested, examined and exposed in ways he would only later understand. Would he serve when exhausted? Would he obey when it went against common sense? What would he do when Jesus exposed the worst in him and he was called to abandon his life and all that he had ever known? Would Jesus choose the financial blessing of the fish, or would he choose the blesser? Would he take the goods and run, or would he leave the goods and follow? It began as another night's work, but that day his conversion and call dawned. For fishermen like Peter, the image of discipleship comes from his life of fishing. He was a fisherman, and now he is to fish for people. If Peter had been a banker, Jesus would have called him to build capital for God. If Peter had been an auto parts manager, God would have called him to increase the market share. Had he been a physician, Jesus would have called him to make people whole and not just well. If Peter had been a lawyer, Christ would have called him to argue God's case before a waiting world. The fact that Jesus used the image of fishermen, which Peter knew well, for his new vocation means that your job and your vocation can be a bridge for you into the kingdom of God. God can use what you already know to teach you what you could never learn apart from Christ. Now, I've been a Christian since I was baptized in 54. I've been an adult disciple since I was 19. And I've been through 3 or 4 waves of renewal in the church, the largest one being the Jesus movement of the early 70s. Most pastors in their mid-50s to mid-60s all across America were swept into the faith and into Christian service by the great Jesus movement of the late 1960s and early 70s. And then came the charismatic movement. Then came the missions movement. So I've seen waves of renewal come, but one thing is constant whenever God begins to stir his people for revival, and that is a hunger for God's Word. You'll find people going to Bible studies at lunch and getting up early. They just can't get enough of Scripture. But when people complain about the worship service going 1 minute past noon, or that too much Bible is read in the service, it tells you that people are in an advanced stage of spiritual narcolepsy and spiritual hunger. They cannot recognize the food that is being put in front of them. It was early in the morning. Word was that Jesus was going to be teaching near Capernaum. And so a flood of people came after sunrise to hear Jesus teach. And then perhaps to see the teaching acted out in the signs of the kingdom. See, Jesus did a lecture, then Jesus did a lab. Jesus would teach the kingdom of God in the power of the Spirit. He would cast out demons, heal the sick, and do forgiveness. What he did here. He taught, and then he did a miracle. Now, folks, can you imagine having the Son of God teaching the Word of God to the people of God in the power of the Spirit of God? Is it any wonder that the people gathered by the hundreds and thousands to listen to Jesus? And they were so eager that day to hear him that they began to move in and press closer. So Jesus found himself toe deep and then ankle deep and then knee deep in water. Now you think about it. Peter and Jesus had different experiences the previous night. Jesus had slept well. Peter had worked all night because in the ancient world, nobody fishes on the Sea of Galilee during the daytime. The water's too clear. And with the linen nets they used, the fish just swim away. So if you had gone in Jesus' time and 2 o'clock in the morning, you'd have gone out and seen the moon over the Middle Eastern sky and all the stars, and you'd have looked across the Sea of Galilee to pagan territory, and you'd have seen all kinds of torches out there moving around because they fished by torchlight with linen nets. And Peter's worked all night and caught nothing. Jesus worked first and second shift. Peter worked third shift. Jesus had a fruitful day. Peter did not catch a single fish. Jesus is rested. Peter is exhausted. Jesus blew out a lamp to go to bed. Peter fished all night by torchlight. Not a single fish. It was a day of labor. But before Peter could go home, rub some Bengay on his muscles and get a meal and go to sleep and prepare for the next night fishing, he had to wash his net because linen nets rot. And so you have to clean them, and where they're torn, you have to stitch them, and then you hang them over racks, and the breezes off the Sea of Galilee dry them. So there Jesus is teaching the people, and Peter's getting ready to go home, wrapping up his job, and Jesus is backing up into the water. Peter, I need your boat. And Peter says, yes. And so you got probably Peter and Andrew on one side and James and John on the other. They're waist deep in water. They're steadying the nets. And they have fished all night. And they are tired. How many of you know that it's easier to serve someone when you're well rested and when it's convenient? But that it is a test of character to serve when you are tired. When you're fighting off the cobwebs, when you've been busy all night long and you just want to go home. You see, folks, your character is being tested every day. If you walk down a hall of this church or across our property, come in and you see a piece of paper and leave it for somebody else to pick up, it says something about your character. But if you're one of the people that get here early and stay late and just do what needs to be done, if you go in the bathroom and something's out of order and you don't come to me and complain, you just fix it. That is the kind of people that Jesus is looking for. Not those who want to be served, but those who will serve in humble ways. Jesus was testing Peter's character, and Peter passed the test. And then there was test number two. Jesus finished the teaching. Peter says, I can go home now. Jesus turns to Peter. Go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You see, the water near the edge of the shore is light blue, and then it drops off in the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know men, and men don't like you to mess with their work unless you know something about it. And here's a carpenter turned preacher telling a 9-generation fisherman how to run his business. And Peter complains, Lord, we toiled all night. All night. 12 hours and caught nothing. Are you sure? But at your word, I will obey. Would Peter serve when he was tired? Would Peter obey when it went against his professional judgment? Yes. You see, Jesus knows more about fishing than Peter does. Jesus knows more about lawyering than the lawyers, more about banking than the banking, more about accounting than the accountants. And you have to decide, is he going to be your senior partner in your business? So Peter got the nets off the racks, put him back in the boat. He knew if they got in the water, he'd have to wash them and dry them again. It would be several hours before he ever got to sleep, and he was tired, but he was committed to obeying Jesus. So you see those boats with James and John. You see them row out past the water to the deep, and they put in their nets, and the boats are drifting, and all of a sudden the boats stop. And you hear a creaking sound. And you watch those nets begin to stretch and some of those linen sinews begin to pop. And all of a sudden, 3 boats have their nets full. About 3/4 of a ton per boat. Now, how many of y'all know that when something wonderful happens, the adrenaline kicks in? And when Peter looked in those nets, all his tiredness evaporated. All he saw was money. He could take his wife out for a date at Fin and Filet. He could get the tires on his car fixed. He could patch that hole at the local synagogue. He could put some aside for a rainy day. It was a 2-week free paycheck. And you see the mussels haul in, and pretty soon these 20-foot-long fishing boats are full to the gunwales with fish, so full that 3 boats are beginning to sink. And Peter's knee are waist-deep in fish, and then it hit him. He obeyed Jesus, and Jesus did a miracle. Not because he saw the fisherman up on the hill, because the Father told the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit what to do, and the Son obeyed, and then Peter obeyed. How many Christians have missed a miracle because they've not obeyed the Lord when it didn't make professional sense for them? It's very interesting. Peter doesn't say, "Look at all the fish." He says, "Lord," he's on his knees. Now, folks, if the boat is full to the gunwales and Peter's on his knees, it means he's up to his waist in fish. And Jesus, don't you love the picture of Jesus in the boat smelling like 3/4 of a ton of fish? Can't you see him throwing back his mane of hair and laughing out loud at what God has done? And Peter drops to his knees. "Get away from me. Get out of my boat. We don't belong in the same universe. You're holy. You're in touch with God's power and abundance. And I am a sinful man." That was the truest thing Peter had ever said. All his sins flooded up in his mind. It was not because some preacher condemned him or someone read the Ten Commandments. He was pushed to his knees by the blessing of God. Now, we give altar calls and we sing songs, and sometimes we drop our net and some people get caught in it. But the best altar calls is when Jesus Christ himself pushes someone into a position of humility with his blessing. Peter was crushed by the abundance of God. Peter needed to know that God could provide for his family if he followed Jesus. Peter needed to know that the word of Jesus, the prophet, is always true and always to be obeyed. Peter needed to know that what God orders, God will pay for. Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid of your sins. We can deal with those. I'm calling you to a new adventure. I'm going to teach you how to catch people in God's nets and draw them into the kingdom. Your new life begins today. And they left everything. They pulled the boats up on shore. They left the nets. Can you imagine leaving 3/4 of a ton of fish in 3 boats? But Simon and Andrew and James and John left him there for Zebedee. Zebedee was the only one who had a payday that day. He sold 3 boats of fish and moved to Lake Greenwood for retirement. There is a dream in the heart of every man and woman, and that's to be of significance. So start where you are. Where you are is your place of service until God sends a new set of orders. You're not at some dead end. You're where God has you. Serve, fish, paint, do whatever you do to the glory of God. And God is fully able to break in and bless you and call you to something new and different. Now, why do we retell these stories? Because the risen Jesus is here today. He's still interrupting our lives. And he's still calling people. So what's in your hands? Is it a checkbook? Is it a piece of property? Is it a feeling of familiarity? What's keeping you from being a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ? Whatever it is, it's not worth holding on to. Be like Peter. Be the person who serves when you're tired and when it's inconvenient. Be like Peter. Be the kind of person who will obey Jesus Christ in the details when it goes against your judgment. Be the kind of person like Peter that God can open your heart and give you forgiveness and some kind of new call. Be the kind of person who at 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 can still be on a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. That is how I intend to live. I wake up every day thanking the Lord that I get to enter His work that day. And there is good work to do. Yes, I have fatigue, but I'm rarely, rarely without a sense of adventure and call and hope and promise. I want to put my feet in the steps of St. Peter and the other apostles. I want to be a pastor in the apostolic faith of drawing people into God's nets and into the boat of this church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me the first and last stanzas of hymn number 398, Jesus Calls Us. Please stand.